welcome back to another episode of the Beach Corps Podcast. We've got a packed agenda for you today and a special guest. As you can see, for those of you watching on YouTube, Little Dark Fury is here in place of Parker Greenwald. What's up, LDF? How are you? Doing good?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on for the pod.
Yeah, no problem. Sucks to not have Parker, but LDF is a good replacement, I guess. Parker is sick in the hospital. Hopefully, you know, he gets better soon. Yeah. Well wishes, Parker. We miss you. And this podcast, we'll talk about LDF's journey as a content creator and kind of like how he became a content creator and what his story is. But first we're going to review our Orlando regional championships that happened right in our backyard, the largest regional championship ever so far, because Indy hasn't happened yet. But it happened right in our backyard. We'll discuss the format, and we'll get some cool things going. As always, I'm Eric Ridgway, and I'm joined by Maddox Corcoran. Maddox, how was your weekend? What's going on with you?
Things are good. You know, again, a lot of Pokemon traveling lately from London right into Orlando, and a lot of other people kind of playing the circuit had a lot of that same thing. Last weekend, I had a weekend off from Pokemon, but not off from traveling. I was actually in Maryland for another side hobby, Humans versus Zombies. Basically, a giant game of Nerf tag took place in Baltimore, Maryland. So I was up there just for the weekend, got back and got sick, and will be drinking tea and a bunch of water throughout to power my voice through the podcast. But other than that, we're doing great.
Well, thanks for toughing it out for us. We're happy to have you here. LDF, you want to introduce yourself to the people, kind of give us a little bit of your background and introduce yourself?
Yeah. So, of course, if you don't know who I am Little Dark Fury. I have a YouTube channel that primarily just focuses on Pokemon TCG Live gameplay. I like to play a lot of rogue decks, a lot of fun stuff, just kind of like more meme decks and stuff. You know, not a lot of YouTubers make that type of content, and I've just been really like enjoying making that content. And I've been enjoying like making and playing rogue decks really like throughout my entire time of playing the Pokemon TCG. So it's really cool to like get to be able to like do that every day. And make a ton of fun decks.
Incredible.
Yeah, I still remember like one of the first ones I watched when I started playing was the Orbeetle deck. The spread, and I was in love with Orbeetle VMAX. I picked it up like right away, and
I wish they'd bring that back. That card was so sick. It'd honestly be good. It's a grass Pokemon. It can be Charizard. Really unique card. Yeah.
Probably some of my favorites. The Pika Pals deck, Silver Tempest, those guys, and the very vulnerable Arcanine. Hisuian Arcanine. It's like play your hand to zero. Sick. Yeah, it's like, man, these cards are so bad, but they're so fun to play.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So before we get into our Orlando Regional Championships and kind of what each of us played and kind of talk about the format a little bit, I got some quick hit questions for you, LDF, for people to get to know you a little bit better. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, question number one. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Hydreigon.
He's a dark friend. Okay.
Yep.
What's your favorite Pokemon game?
Pokemon Emerald.
Ooh, birthstone of me. Love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's your favorite deck that you've played to a major tournament?
Reggie's.
Maddox, how you feel about that?
Hey, Reggie's is a good deck. I never got to play it in its heyday, but LDF did beat me with it at Orlando Regionals in 2023 when I had no idea what to do, and he just absolutely farmed my Mew VMAX all day.
Next question. What's a deck you thought would be really good, but it wasn't?
I mean, one of the most like common answers this comes up with a lot is Reshiram and Zekrom tag team GX.
Yeah.
But I honestly like you thinking about it more now, like stuff like Tapu Koko GX from back in the day, I thought was gonna be really good. That was like a deck where you could like theoretically you like attack with Coco, hit for 130, you like suit, then you go into another Coco because then you bench it, you move all the energy to it, and you super scoop up that Coco, and then you just kind of like chain Cocos and heal them. I thought that was actually going to be like a legit deck when Guardians Rising first came out. And then upon playing it, I was like, nah, this kind of sucks. But that was a good example of one that like I actually wanted to make work really badly.
Interesting. I don't have much experience with that. Maddox, did you play it during that?
Not really, but I mean, there's so many times when like a new set comes out and everyone's like, man, this card's gonna be so broken, and it comes out, it's like,
yep, doesn't happen.
It's just kind of bad.
It's crazy that
that's what happened to Charizard. It's like everyone's like, oh my god, Charizard's insane. Came out and it was like nobody really knew how to play it properly, but it didn't do that good. And then once people figured it out,
when Brazil had Larvazar, that's when it like,
exploded.
They're like, let's play four Arvin. It's like, whoa, it's busted.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden like BDIF.
I know.
Last question before we jump into Orlando topic. What do you like to do when you're not playing Pokemon?
Usually just hanging out with my friends. That's what I was doing today. I wasn't able to make a video today at all because of the maintenance on TCG Live.
Yeah.
So my buddies like wanted to hang out with me, and I was like, usually I'm like, I make them wait, but I was like, I got some time today. I guess we'll go out for a bit. So I like hanging out with a lot of friends. I honestly don't really play as many like video games outside of like Pokemon itself. I've played a bit of Minecraft recently with like a bunch of my buddies, but for the most part, I like to just kind of hang out with my friends and kind of just go out a lot. I go out a lot, so it's like usually pretty busy.
Nice.
How's
Have
the
no fear.
Nightlife? Oh, go ahead.
I said, have no fear. You're making a video today, either way.
Yeah,
so. Exactly. That's true.
Exactly.
As long as I'm getting a video done. Yeah, exactly.
Content's always happening. We'll talk more about that later.
Machine.
How's the nightlife where you are?
It's pretty good. Usually like on the weekends when I go to my locals, we like usually go for food after, and it's like pretty good, especially when you're more closer to downtown Toronto. Yeah, it's pretty good. The nightlife in Toronto is pretty nice.
Yeah, being
nice.
In Toronto for regionals back in October was really nice. First time there.
It's a good place for regionals.
Yeah,
really cool.
I had a great time in Toronto. I really loved it.
Yeah, we have a great, great city for like food and culture and stuff. So,
and just stacked Pokemon players also.
Literally
yeah.
the sweatiest place in the world for local play. It's crazy.
We're working on making Jacksonville the second sweatiest place in the world. We were grinding last night for NAIC, so we're working for it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move back to Orlando a little bit. I know there's been Perth and there has been Sao Paulo since this episode. We'll talk a little bit about those, but since most of our audience is Florida-based, because this is the Beach Court podcast, we're next to the beach in Jacksonville, Florida. I want to focus on Orlando. LDF, I'll let you go first. What deck did you play to Orlando? Talk about your list and why you chose to play it.
Yeah, so I ended up playing Ancient Box to Orlando. My original plan was to play Arctina. All the people that I went with, they were all on Arctina. They were trying to basically make Arctina work for like at least like 3 weeks before the event. And they were just like sold on it. And they were trying to get me to play it too, obviously. And I do like Arceus a lot. I'm a huge Arceus fanboy. But I don't know. I just wasn't feeling Arctina. Like sometimes you just get these like really bad starting hands. You don't get Arc energy. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want that to happen. And I was really liking Gabriel Fernandez's Ancient Box list that he had from EYC the week leading into the event. And I was like, this kind of feels good. It reminded me a lot of the Reggie deck because it's just a one prize focused deck, right? So I tested it and I'm like, this is busted. Like it does like have a shaky Charizard matchup, but it was beating everything else. Like it was good against Shenpao, Arctina, Lost Tina, Lost Box. Gardevoir is another big one that the deck like I think has an insanely good matchup against. And I teched a Nicobelion in my Ancient Box list because I wanted to improve my Zard matchup and the mirror match. There's two different, you know, Roaring Moon decks. You got the Dunsparce and then the Ancient Box build. So it did help a little bit. I actually played against a turbo Roaring Moon deck, like an old school Roaring Moon deck with like Squawkabillion Mew in round 15. Unfortunately, I think because maybe I didn't scoop game one fast enough, we ended up going to time and I honored a gentleman's agreement and he won the set. But I was favored in that matchup due to the Cobalion.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I definitely don't regret playing the list. I think if I were to go to Orlando again, I would probably just I'd play the deck again. Maybe play a second Cobalion. I don't know. I'm thinking about that for like the Zard matchup, because that's like the trickiest matchup right now for this deck is Charizard. But the deck is really fun. It like beats everything that's not Charizard. It's just a really fun deck to play because it's all one prizers. You get to do big damage and just kind of not having to worry. Like if your opponent's not flipping over a Charmander, not having to worry too much about what your opponent's playing kind of feels pretty good in my opinion. And yeah, that's why I played Ancient Box. Fun to play, one prize deck, reminds me of Reggie's. And I did end up getting day two with the deck. I got back to back Orlando day twos, which is pretty sick. So I was pretty happy about that. Because, like, new meta, you know, new format, everything's kind of different. I was a little worried. I'm like, am I making the right call here with this ancient deck? And I'm glad I was able to still make it in day two.
Who'd you hit round 15? I'm very curious, as he's part of my group.
Well, I forget his name. He was playing the Roaring Moon deck. I'm pretty sure he might have been, like, the only person playing Roaring Moon. Because I remember when I did my day two deck videos from Orlando, I did see his deck. I think he did get top 64 because we did do a gentleman's agreement because we were like potentially in top 64 if somebody won this.
I wonder, was it Steven? No, Steven was playing hands, right? No, Steven played hands.
I'm actually going to look this up now.
I'm very curious. I'm curious too.
Because if they were one of your locals, right?
It's got to be Walter.
It might have been Roaring Moon. which is why played old school Roaring Moon, which is why
yeah, the leaves,
yeah, I was
like the
just
whole
curious, yeah.
technology. Yeah.
Like technology, man, it worked. It farms hard, man.
I like it.
Yeah. But
Oh,
yeah,
that's
I really
funny.
like your list. So like, I guess the only changes you would think is maybe Second Cabalion if it does improve the Zard matchup some.
Yeah, or even like maybe not even just for Spexard, like maybe just like not take the L, but maybe just like don't overtech for it and just kind of just keep the deck as consistent as you can, because Cobalion isn't good in like most other matchups other than Zard and maybe like the other Roaring Moon decks. So I can see it being swapped out for the Fire Energy or the Great Tusk that I've been seeing in other lists, or Lost Vacuum. It's another card that I've been seeing in the lists.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for running through that. Maddox, you
No
want to go
problem.
next with I know you didn't have too hot of a day,
Okay,
but
So my round 15 opponent was Walter
it
Anderson.
must
That's
have been,
that. Oh,
yeah.
okay,
I figured.
Just found that now. Okay, sick.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, for me, I played the hybrid of LDF's deck and Eric's deck. I played the Roaring Moon to Dunsparce list. Really, it was that I had a good run at EUIC. Got to top 64 with Turbo Hands. I didn't think it was a great call for Orlando, since I think more people knew it was out there. More people were gonna play Charizard. I didn't think it was a great call. And honestly, I was like, hey, I got the invite. I got a little more flexibility. Like, let me just play something fun. Literally on Sunday, just like seeing games, I was hanging out with some of the Chicago folks. Shout out to Ben, who was playing Roaring Moon to Dunsparce. And I'm like, oh, wait, this deck's kind of sick. I was also talking with a friend of mine, Mikola, and they were, again, talking about this Roaring Moon to Dunsparce list. And I was like, yo, this seems pretty fun. So literally, like, bought the cards that I needed from the vendor on Friday, sleeved it up, and I was like, I think I'm just gonna play this. So well, I won my first two. I'm like, man, this is easy. And then tie, and then loss, concede on gentlemen's, loss, concede on gentlemen's, and then it was just kind of like, eh, like it wasn't quite getting set up as much as I needed. And then in the last round, just scooped it up. The other person was going for their invite, and I was, and again, it was kind of a drawn board state, so I just gave him a chance to get some points for the day. But yeah, I mean, but still a very, very fun deck to play. I think I'd do much better with it now than I did then, just with a little bit more time to play the deck. But again, like a legitimate deck and just a great way to see cards, but very easy to just draw yourself out of all your onboard draw, and then you get Iono to two, and it's like, I got nothing. So
Except for when you do got something, which we'll talk about
yeah.
that in a second. Yeah, so thanks for running through that, Maddox. Sorry you didn't have such a hot day. It was so weird. Like, me and Maddox had like the total opposite starts. Maddox is like, he's like, did you win? I'm like, no, I hit Grant Manley round one. Like, I lost. Sorry. Then I lose round two to his deck that I owned them the two, both games, with no draw on board, no attackers on board, and they found boss setup attacker. Both games, and I'm like, bro,
That's actually crazy.
literally both games. So, like, after 0-2, I'm like, bro, this is terrible. So, I came into the event right after EUIC. I missed points again in London, second year in a row. And I'm just like, man, this sucks. Like, I played Turbo Hands. Me and Max basically played the same 60, got top 64. I got farmed. I was like, all right, I just want to beat Zard. Like, I don't care about whatever else. I just want to beat Zard. Like, every time I play Zard, I just want to like have a really good matchup into them. So Jason Birch, friend of the pod, kind of showed me this list on Monday with just a straight Turbo Roaring Moon deck with Iron Leaves in it. And I'm like, So I started looking at Zard's list. I'm like, nobody's really playing Lost City, which I think maybe they should now if Ancient Box becomes a thing, because I think Lost City is very good against Ancient Box, but. That being said, I was like, all right, let me just build the most consistent build. He had four energy switch in there. I'm like, take those crap cards out of there. I want a V-Star power. Let me put Darkrai in because I want two Prime Catchers because that's broken. And then let me just put a couple other cards. I think I put a second Rod and like a second Palpad, just like two more consistency cards. And the deck just worked. Like, once it gets firing, it just really works. So my list, I like it a lot. I don't think. Like, looking back on it, I wouldn't change a single thing, except for maybe you can argue cutting Darkrai, and you could play like a Cylene and then another consistency card as well. So like, if you really want to use it for that, but like, I had Zard opponents like bossing my Darkrai, like even when I have like a Moon powered up because they're so scared of like the Prime Catcher the next turn again. But it was nice to get Darkrai. I don't really play Moon a lot, and it was a very good deck. I went 4-1 against Zards on the weekend. I was very, and that's, and the one Zard guy that I lost to was just able to pull off the Rad Zard twice, which is the only way you lose. So he played it really well. Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing about the list. Locked up the world's invite, so that's what I needed. I just need to get any points to lock up the invite. So that's done now, and we can start focusing on NAIC and worlds a little bit, start looking a little forward, which is kind of fun. But yeah, I mean, those were our three decks. Hope you guys enjoyed that discussion there. Let's talk about the format as a whole. LDF, I know we talked before, you said you're not going to Indy, but even if you could, you don't know if you would, just because, like, you're not feeling the format. I mean, I know Zards won all four major events. You know, is this a tier zero format that we're in? And is that kind of, you know, what's driving you away from playing in this format right now?
Yeah, I mean, the meta is very just like centered around Charizard. It's dominating all these tournaments. It's winning. It's like the most winning deck in the game right now. And it is basically like a tier zero deck. I kind of want to compare it to the Lugia format of Silver Tempest, but I don't know if I can really compare it that much, because like Charizard is not the same, it's not on the same level as Lugia was back then, but it does feel like the deck is like by far and away, like, you have to beat it, or, you know, why play anything but Charizard? I've been kind of, that's been running through my mind recently, and I've been talking with my, like, my local friend group that I test with, and we're just like, why play any other deck but Charizard? Like, it's just so good. I literally think there is no deck out right now that actually beats Charizard. I think every deck either takes 50-50s or like maybe 60-40s. Like, the big two decks that take Charizard out the easiest are Sipao and Lost Tina. I still don't think Charizard can lose to those two decks if the Charizard player draws well and plays well, especially with how they're being built now with Heroes Capes, Eeries. You know, the Turos are really good in the deck now. That's kind of what gatekeeps a lot of these like decks like Ancient Box from being better. Ancient Box will destroy Charizard, in my opinion, if they weren't running like heavy Turo.
Heavy Turos, yeah.
So it's like the format is just kind of daunting. Charizard is just a really, like the best way to describe it, in my opinion, it's kind of lame. It's just, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of like the Lugia meta, even the Palkia Astral Radiance format. I was not a big fan of that either. Yeah. Whereas like Palkia was the big deck and it was like, you know, play a lightning deck and beat it. I don't know. It's just that kind of reminds me of those formats where like, it feels like there really isn't any other deck you can play other than just the one BDIF. Cause every other deck is fun, cool to play, like, you know, Ancient Box, Sipao, Gardevoir, Lost Box, but it just feels like Charizard can just beat anything, and I feel like it's not fun. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I really did enjoy the Paradox meta a lot more because there was a BDIF, you know, the BDIF would kind of fluctuate from like Zard or Tina to Gardevoir, and that was healthy because there was also like, you could play a lot of different decks and do well, but now it just feels like Charizard kind of gatekeeps too much. Like the deck pool would be a lot bigger right now if Charizard didn't exist. I saw this tier list on Twitter that Epo put out. It was more of a meme, but he was like, decks that beat Charizard. It was like, Tina, Sipao, and then like, you just have like, all the other decks in the format are like, doesn't beat Charizard. It was like every other deck, like Goldango, Ancient Box, Guardi. I'm just like, yeah, it sums it up.
I saw tier lists that were similar, but instead it was like, sometimes beats Charizard, Chen Pao. It's like, thinks they beat Charizard, but actually don't. Like, Arctina, like, and then everything else, right? I mean, I'm definitely with you there, where it's just like, again, I think what you said just sums it up, like, why play anything else but Charizard? Mm-hmm. If that deck can just beat everything, I really think, like, you said, between Charizard and like, you know, Iron Hands, probably like Turbo Iron Hands or Chen Pao, like really gatekeeping a lot of decks. It's like, oh, hey, here's this like neat single prize deck that like hits grass and does this, like, it's like, oh, Iron Hands is like, I'm out. Uh-huh. Like, yep. I mean, again, you know, and even like, I feel like, you know, even in the Lugia Silver Tempest format, right, you could go and play like Quad Weezing or something and just say like, yeah, no abilities. And you could like really do some things that just almost felt like they more hard countered it. I don't even know if there's a deck that you say like, oh yeah, this deck 100 zeros Charizard. Cause it's like, they play enough pieces to just like outplay you just to do, again, the Turos, just all the tools that it has, Prime Catcher, or they're playing Heroescape. And sometimes you don't even know. It's like, oh yeah, this deck plays double Eerie for some reason. Oh, it plays double Devo. It's like, like, what am I supposed to do with this?
It is ridiculous.
LDF, you dropped the Spidops Venomoth deck again on, you know, running that back again with on your YouTube channel this week. Does that 100-0 Zard?
It's pretty favored. Like, if going in blind, because obviously the Zard play will make you go second in, like, game two if you beat them game one. But for, like, a fun, like, meme deck, it actually is good against Zard because you just sit there and item lock them. Eventually, they'll find Charmeleon. But even then, you can just, like, you confuse it. I guess you can't confuse it. But you, like, try to, like, trap something. You Alakazam, knock out the Charmeleon. Even if they get a Charizard out, you have Spidops, which can Oko it. It's a fun little meme deck. I recorded that video and it was like I was able to like win a lot of games really quickly because I was hitting a lot of Shenpao and Charizard on the ladder. I'm like, all right, just keep feeding me these. And I even think the deck can actually it can handle other decks. I think it's actually not bad into like Iron Hands because you can one shot hands with Spite Ops if you can find your vacuums to get rid of the booster capsule. It's honestly not a terrible deck. I got the list from a couple online tournaments where somebody was getting consistent top eights with it. So I was like, clearly it's doing something. More of a meme, but a fun meme.
Maybe a little spicy under the radar pick for Indy.
Yeah, I don't know.
For what's the one in Europe?
Stockholm.
That's one
here first.
Interesting though to see kind of what decks are being played right now to counter Zard, because like also Espathra is all of a sudden popular.
I mean, Espathra was like the second or third most popular deck in Sao Paulo on day two.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I saw someone said they hit 6 Espathra mirrors. I'm like,
I think
what?
That was Vini. I think Vini Fernandez was hit like a bunch of them, which is so sad.
I can't even imagine that.
I couldn't either. I think this is I think this is close to a tier zero format. I mean, it's a little different, like you said, than Silver Tempest because Zard does have some bad matchups, but yes, it can win it if it draws perfect and they play perfect. It's still very, very powerful.
The other thing I guess I wanted to quickly mention about Zard and what makes it like kind of not fun to play against is most decks right now, they have to do a lot of stuff to be able to actually make their deck like function. Like Shenpao needs to get a stage 2 out. They need a set of bib rolls. They have to like sequence perfectly in order to like constantly chain attacks. Lost Zone decks have to, you know, pull risks, and you have to be really selective with what you're, you know, lost zoning away. And you know, you have to be very like skillful with how you're sequencing your turns, and even other decks like Gardevoir, same thing, where it's like there's a lot of sequencing and different things you got to do. Where Charizard is like very just like daunting, where they can just go rare candy Charizard, get 3 energy into play, build themselves up. They have the ability to grab any card every turn, and it's just, I don't know, I just don't like that type of format where it's like every deck kind of has to do a lot in order to function, where the best deck just doesn't have to do really anything to actually function. I just think that's like kind of, I think that's lame. I don't know. That's one of the things that makes me not like the Charizard format that much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some help coming. We got some, we got some grass attackers in the next set. We'll talk about the Teal Masquerade set a little bit later on after we talk with you about your kind of come up and stuff. So, well, get ready to transition to that. But before I do, I have one very important question for you, LDF. Do you like ramen?
I do.
Okay.
I like ramen.
Maddox, do you like ramen?
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
If only I could eat a lot of ramen.
I mean,
is that a life you want?
If you could eat a lot of ramen, all you have to do is come down to Jacksonville, Florida in Orange Park, come to Nakama Anime Cafe this Sunday at 1:00, and you can enter and your chance to win some prizing for all you can eat ramen contest. I, for one, will be there. LDF, do you need me to like book a flight for you?
Of course. All right.
I mean, we'll make it happen, man. but thanks again for Knock 'em Manor Cafe for your continued support of this podcast and me and Maddox and Parker. Really appreciate it. So after that, let's transition into let's talk about the interview. Maddox, you want to kick us off with talking about LDF, and let's focus on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Again, LDF, thanks so much for joining us. Again, lots of people, you know, like you said, you know, lucky, you know, you even said it yourself, you know, lucky to be able to go and play your rogue decks, you know, create the content, play the game that you like, you know, as a career. So, you know, really help us understand a little bit about, you know, how this came to be, right? What made you decide to become a content creator, and how'd you find yourself, you know, where you are today as the little dark fury that we all know?
Yeah, so I've been making content now for like over a decade, technically. Like, I started my YouTube channel over a decade ago. Haven't been making PCGO content for a decade, almost a decade now. But I did start my channel in 2013. I've always been like interested in YouTube. One of my big inspirations for coming up on YouTube was because I used to watch a lot of Call of Duty, and I used to play a lot of Call of Duty back in the day, like Black Ops 2, COD Ghost Era. So I want to give a shout out to Ali A. He's the guy that kind of got me into wanting to make content. And I started off making COD videos. They were really terrible. So I just like ended up not doing that, as obviously where I wanted to go. And I was into the Pokemon TCG. I played it a lot growing up. And I was into PCGO. And I was like, making PCGO videos is pretty easy. You just need to have a screen capture software, a good microphone, and that's about it. And you could just like easily make videos. So that kind of got me into it. And I've always been into making rogue decks and stuff. Another inspiration for kind of coming up early on YouTube was Puka, of course, Kyle Sukovich, the man himself. He also is a huge inspiration for what got me not only indie, like making PCGO videos and into YouTube, but also like keeping, you know, the content train afloat, like not just like giving up or whatever, just like constantly always being motivated to make videos. A lot. He was a big help in that.
That's awesome. I mean, and I guess like at what point, you know, right, did you shift to Pokemon content, or like when did it start to feel like that it was, hey, like, hey, this is something, you know, it turns from something I can do for fun to like, hey, actually, this can be what I do.
Yeah, so I've been just making the videos for so long, and I never, because the problem with Pokemon TCG YouTube content, specifically like the online version, it's like there's not a lot of views to be had within the game itself, at least not back then. Like back then, it was a little bit harder to actually, you know, make a living off of YouTube. So probably for like, I would say like 5, 6 years, I didn't make a lot of money off of YouTube. But I would say once the pandemic happened, that's when things really shot up, because I was able to like constantly make videos every day. I was getting in more into streaming and stuff. And that's really when I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, this is actually like, I'm making decent money from this. I can probably make this a full-time job. And that's kind of where the shift came. It was just in 2020 during the pandemic, because at that point I just wasn't making a lot of money. I was still doing content every day or every week, at least. I only did daily content, I think, in the summer when I was done school. When I went back to school, I wasn't able to upload daily. I think I did every other day or something like that. But then once like the pandemic hit, I was daily content. And because PCGO was like really one of the only things you could play like during that time, because IRL play was gone. So I think we did. And then we saw like a big Pokemon TCG boom during the pandemic, which also really did help spike the channel a lot. And funny enough, I would argue my channel started to see a good amount of growth when I started to change my thumbnails and I started putting my face in my thumbnails. Like, I know it's kind of a meme to do that, like the shock, the reaction face and stuff, but it's the formula that works on YouTube. And that's, I think, really when my channel started to, like, I noticed things were really starting to grow a lot quicker than they were during, like, even just 2020. Like, 2021 is when, like, a huge transition happened where, like, all of a sudden my channel started growing even faster than before.
How'd you make it where you could learn to edit? I mean, did you teach yourself all this? Did you have to like learn from people who are already content creators? Like, I feel like that's the struggle a lot of people have, is like, yeah, anyone can record a video, they can do anything, but like making it a nice, you know, quality presentation is some of the issues that people run into. So kind of, what do you have for people that, on that kind of topic?
For me, I in school, I did take a video editing class, which helped a little bit, because I do use Adobe Premiere Pro for all my videos still. And that's what we had to use back in the day. So I did use that. But for making the videos, it's not like super complicated. I just take the video files and then I put them together, and then I put like music over them, and then you can like adjust the volume of how loud they are, and then I'll put like a couple like sound effects in between each like a transitional sound effect, and you can put like a couple like effects on your video. Like when I do the card cabin shout out, I have like a dissolve effect and stuff on the video portion of that. The video editing is honestly kind of basic for what I do, but a lot of that does come from like just YouTubing how to edit videos and stuff, and just also just secondhand nature. And at this point, like, it's just muscle memory. So whenever I edit a video, like I do it really quickly now, because it's just like I've been doing it for so long, it's just kind of like secondhand nature to me, where I can just easily open up Adobe Premiere and I can get a video edited in like, you know, 5 minutes tops, and then get it rendered and then uploaded. So that's kind of the process for me.
Incredible. Again, like 7-8 years of work, and then just kind of the right opportunity, the right content, the right face on the thumbnail perhaps, right?
Yeah.
And then and there you are. So congrats on your come up and success there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you have to like work? Like when you said you weren't making a lot of money, did you have to like work while you were doing this?
Did
that take up a lot of your time?
I didn't work. I still made like some tiny bit of money from YouTube, and I was like, all right, whatever, that's my job. Even though it wasn't that much money, like it wasn't really like a full-time job type thing. But I did have one job where I was working with my cousin, but it was like, it was a really bad job for me. I'm a very small person. I'm not very like big. So when I was in this job, it was like a labor heavy job. We had to like lift stuff, and it was really not working for me. So that just didn't work out. I think I lasted like 2 weeks before, just it never worked out. And I also had to get up at like 5 a.m. 4 days a week to go to this job. It was terrible. I don't know. I just couldn't, my body physically couldn't do it. And eventually it just like gave out, and I was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was the only one job I had.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the dream everyone wants. You're living it.
Thanks. Yeah. It's pretty nice just having being able to wake up every day, even though, you know, TCG Live may not be the world's greatest client compared to TCGO. Just playing it every day, I've come to just appreciate it a little bit more, and it's just kind of like I'm just used to everything now, like all the bugs and stuff.
No, 100%. So, like you said, you know, again, you get to wake up and do this every day. So, like, take us through, like, what's that day in the life of LDF when you're working on content, right? You know, are you, you know, busting out a lot of videos at a time? Are you doing one a day? I know you're just editing. There's, I'm sure there's other, you know, behind the scenes work. It's not just, you know, recording videos and editing all day. Right. Like, break that down for us. Like, what's that day in the life looking
hitting
like?
Hitting the gym in the morning, right?
Okay. Yeah. You're waking up a bit. Usually I'll wake up. Sometimes I'll wake up at like 11 or whatever, depending on what time I go to bed. And I'll go downstairs, make a coffee. Maybe I'll just kind of like chill for like a half an hour or so just to kind of wake up a little bit. And then I'll go to record my videos. I like recording my videos right away just so that I have the rest of the day to myself, depending on how long the video takes. Sometimes they take an hour or so. Sometimes they take longer. But I usually try to get the video done like as soon as I can. So then I have the day to myself. But yeah, I usually record one video a day unless I got to make a second channel video. Sometimes Limitless will put out the deck list from a major tournament. So then it's like before I record my main video, I'll do that video. And the one thing I like about the second channel videos is like if I'm recording that before my main channel video in like the afternoon or whatever, it kind of it wakes me up a little bit more so that when I actually go to play the game, I can actually play well. It's just something that I find kind of funny is like when you're just waking up and playing Pokemon cards, you sometimes are a little like groggy or you're making weird misplays and stuff because you're not like your brain's not fully awake yet.
We've all been there in round one or two at a tournament, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But when I'm like when I have to do like a 40 minute video on my second channel before I have to record my main video, it just gives me enough time to get my brain working. So then when I record the actual video, I'm actually like fully awake. But yeah, I usually just record like one or two videos a day. If I have to make a second channel video, sometimes I'll record a video super late at night. If like new cards get revealed, I usually try to get on that like right away, be the first person to upload that. So like if it's like 2 a.m, I will literally turn on my computer, go on Poke Beach, record a quick, you know, 20 minute video looking at new cards and then upload it.
Love it.
Commit it to the grind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, real quick on the logistics of like recording a live video, right? I know, you know, you'll hear some other content creators being like, or I've seen sometimes before, you know, where they'll pop on and they got like one or two games, right? Like, you know, how do you find the right game or you go hop on one and they like concede right away? Or like, I can't use that. I mean, is it that much of a struggle or can you like get a couple games out of the way like quickly? Or do you have to like, again, play for a while to find the right ones that, you know, show off the deck properly?
Yeah, a common criticism I've seen with my content is that I only show wins or I cherry pick my games. But the reason I do that is like when I'm making a video and especially when I'm making like rogue decks, I know that the deck isn't going to be like a super insanely good deck. So only showing wins, I think, is fine because you're showing the best in the deck. So that process can sometimes be, you know, it can be long. If I'm playing like a really bad deck, sometimes it can take a while to record a video. I've been trying to show a lot more losses in my videos now to keep it a little bit more realistic. I still like just showing wins most of the time because it just shows off the best of a deck, which I want to do. Like, I don't want to show a deck like losing a lot because then it's like no one's actually going to play it. And I don't know, just the feedback wouldn't be very good. But if I'm showing like maybe one loss in a video, especially if it's a close loss, it's not that bad. And it, yeah, sometimes depending on the quality of the game, I do kind of look for that when I'm making a video. It's like, how good was the game itself? Was there a lot of things going on? An interesting kind of point to this was the other day I was streaming and the first game I was playing that Great Tusk Dead Unsparce deck. And the first game on, I got that Explorer's Guidance bug where I Explorer's Guidance for 0 cards left in my deck and then it only milled one card and I lost the game. However, if that glitch didn't happen, I had game because my opponent had 3 cards left in their deck. So I lost the game because of it. And I uploaded a video yesterday. I didn't include that game because I like to include stream games sometimes. It makes it, you know, less time to, you know, find matches to make a video.
Yeah.
And then I got a few comments like, why didn't you show that stream game you got where you got that bug? And I was like, that game was really boring. I was playing in Future Box. They literally didn't attack me a single time because they were bricking the entire game and I kept milling all their energies with Great Tusk. So it was a very boring game apart from that funny glitch. So I do try to look for like a quality game where if the gameplay has to be exciting, there has to be stuff happening, it has to be at least close. And I like showing my opponent not just like flat out bricking. Like I don't think that's very like entertaining to
watch.
That's
not Pokemon, yeah. That's not
exactly.
When's the TCG Live glitch compilation video coming?
Soon, hopefully. I do like that. So like if I lose a game and it's because of like a funny glitch, I usually try to show that because one, it's like, all right, whatever. I don't want to like, I'm kind of annoyed. I don't want to like it waste my time. And then also it just, if a TCG dev is watching the video for whatever reason, there you go. They found a new bug they can fix.
Yeah. How do you feel about how do you feel about shorts? Are you involved with that these days, or
I've made a few TikToks in the past. I've made a TikTok in like 2 or 3 years now, but I have done a few shorts on my second channel, but I don't know. I'm just not really into the shorts content. From a lot of what I hear from a lot of my friends who do YouTube shorts, they get a lot of traction towards your channel. They don't make you a lot of money, but they can get really good views and they can actually get you a lot of subscribers because shorts are like kind of like, you know, it's very like Gen Z, all the people. It's kind of the new wave right now. So apparently it can grow your channel quite fast, but it doesn't give you a lot of money, which I find kind of weird. And I don't know if I like that trade-off, because I would rather make a 50-minute video that would actually pay better than doing a short, even though shorts aren't that hard to make. I'd have to like edit it a little bit differently. Like you have to like change you have to change it from like landscape to portrait. It's like, I don't know, it's just kind of like, I've just never really been into the shorts. I've done a few on the second channel. Like I had a funny game against Reggies, I think, where like I lost zoned 6 of their Reggies with Kyogre Amazing Rares attack. So that was a cool short. I pulled the gold Ultra Ball from Plasma Freeze. I was like, that's another short. I Roxanne my opponent into like the perfect cards. That's another short. And I like in the back of my mind, like I have a lot of funny moments happen all the time. And I'm like, that could be a good YouTube short idea. And then I just like, I don't feel like making one.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, I think you got to put out a lot of those too. You know, just like one or two. I don't know if that gets you in the algorithm enough. It's like, oh yeah, right. You need, you know, 100 plus you need Subway Surfer on half of it. So people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 You got to have like something else on top of it to keep people like interested in watching it. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. All right. I know we already kind of started talking a little bit about like the formula you take for a video. I don't know if you want to expand on anything there. And also like you touched on, like you like to do a lot of rogue decks, right? Like how do you find this right balance of, you know, covering like meta decks where it's like, hey, here's decks that, you know, people are interested about because they're the decks that are really good right now versus like, hey, here are fun rogue decks and how they pair up against the meta decks. Like, how do you balance that again for creating like consistent channel content that kind of fits all, you know, Pokemon players?
Yeah. So I try to stray away from like any meta decks. Like you probably will never see me upload a video on Charizard right now, unless there's like some like wacky out of the box Charizard deck that like did well in a tournament or something, then maybe I'll do it. Best example was Torzard. Last format, I didn't bother doing a single video on like the standard Charizard deck because I'm like, there's no point. All the other YouTubers are doing it. People come to my channel not to watch, you know, me play like a meta deck. They want to see me play like something a little bit weirder. Then all of a sudden, Torzard is really good with this like wacky Charizard Rapid Strike deck. I'm like, it's Charizard, but it's a good enough rogue deck and it'll get enough people watching interested where I can actually post that. And I've done videos on like decks that were rogue at the time. The best example, I did a video on the Roy Moon Dunsparce deck when it won an online tournament. And then all of a sudden now it's like a deck in the meta. It's like it's getting multiple top eights in these tournaments. But at the time when I made that video, it was a rogue deck. So I try to like look for that. Part of what makes making content a bit easier now is the online tournaments now, because if I see like a cool thing in the online tournament, win one or get top four, it's like I can make a video on that deck, right? Like it's already been made. I don't really have to do much. But it's also interesting because while I do spend a lot of my time on TCG Live just making decks, like not playing the game, just literally sitting there coming up with like deck ideas for cool videos, it's just nice to have this like easy kind of, not cheat code, but this easier way to get a video out if I, you know, I'm rushed for time or if this is just something that I didn't think of, because I can't think of every single combination possible. While I do commit a lot of my time to actually sitting on the game and making decks, I don't have all the time in the world to think of like cool ideas or just cool ideas that I just never would have thought of just pop out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh, that somebody else thought of a cool idea before I did. I'll cover the video.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, do you just like, how many hours a day do you sit there like dedicated to building rogue decks? Right. Cause like nobody's giving you these ideas for the most part. Right. You gotta like come up with these and then build up a consistent deck. You gotta be a good deck builder.
Mm-hmm. Win games with it too.
Yeah. Exactly. So you gotta be a good deck builder. Right. So like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I do spend a lot of time. Usually at night is when I kind of sit down, listen to music, and I just chill on TCGO. Like just kind of vibe out and build decks or whatever. I'll go on Pokekabook, see what people in Japan were playing and see how their decks are looking, which is another like useful source would actually helps make decks now is like Pokekabook itself. And that process is usually just me sitting on TCG Live and just kind of just sitting there. I usually scroll through all the cards. I'll filter by whatever. I'm like, is there any cool like EXs I haven't covered in a while that maybe gets better? One thing I really like looking for in cards is I'll look at all the new cards in a new set. And I'll be like, is there any new cards that actually improve an old card's performance? So a good example of this was Tyranitar EX, which I just did a video on. That card is a little bit stronger now because of Neo Upper Energy. And I was like, oh, all these like random stage 2 EXs, all of a sudden I can make a video on them because they can just play Neo Upper Energy now. They're a little bit better. So I was like, immediately I built the Tyranitar deck. I kind of made it like a Tord Zardy build with like Bibarel and Pidgeot. I threw Neo Up Energy in the deck because it's an upgrade to the deck. So I kind of look for like how do decks get improved. I write down ideas if I have like a deck idea, or if like new cards get revealed, I'm like, oh, that's going to make this card a lot better when this card comes out. Let me like quickly write that down in my notes, so like when the time comes, I'll like remember it. But yeah, I do spend a lot of time on the game, not really playing it as much, just literally sitting there building decks, and then I'll test them a bit and kind of make sure they function properly and whatnot.
Cool.
Yeah, that mindset of like, hey, I'm going to go back and look at what's in the format, like what is better now, what can fill a purpose that we need. Even things like Cleffa, right? You know, Cleffa now being a standard card in a lot of the meta Charizard list, right? That card's been around for a little while now.
Yeah,
people weren't really thinking to play it, but again, it's that deck builder mindset. If you go look back and say, oh, hey, this card can actually fit in pretty well, so yeah, it's great to see that, you know, applied to everyone's favorites, right? We got a lot of Tyranitar EX fans in Jacksonville, so I'm sure a lot of them saw the videos like, oh wait, maybe now's the time, right? And now we'll sleeve it up, bring it to locals. So
yeah,
that's what I'm playing at the challenge this Thursday.
Ooh, there you go.
let's go. My favorite card currently in the format to make videos on is Meowscarada. Those videos always do really well. There's so many Meowscarada fans out there.
People
and that's
love
a,
the
that's
cat.
A fun one.
They love the cat.
Mm-hmm.
It's when is it? It's time now.
You think
for a grass attacker? Two. Yeah, I saw it's back. What, I got ninth at Perth or something? I know we didn't talk about it, but
it was like top. I think it got
top 16.
It got like 18th,
yeah, like,
or something like that.
Yeah,
18th. And then it got
top 32.
Then it got day two in Sao Paulo too.
Yeah.
I thought it literally did better than, was it only 18th?
No, it was like 18th,
Dang, it was 18th.
Yeah, because
I thought
it was a
bit
of a smaller tournament, right?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was top 16, but almost. We'll make it there
It was
someday.
almost, yeah.
Almost there, yeah, almost there.
Maybe
Top
someday.
32.
All right, so again, kind of back to some of the content creator, you know, grind, and again, you kind of touched on some of it already, just, you know, having to, you know, push for content, and then, you know, the come up of, you know, making money and trying to survive the struggle there. I mean, like, what are some of the, again, everyone just sees the flashiness of like, oh yeah, I get to create videos, this is what I do all day. You know, what are some of the lesser known challenges of that content creator life, and how do you personally, you know, try to overcome them, or, you know, do your best to work through them?
Two things that I am very scared of with content creation is the algorithm slash like falling off. The YouTube algorithm is very punishing. If you take time off of YouTube, or you even just like change up your content a little bit, the YouTube algorithm can really punish you. And then your views start to drop. And then obviously, you know, sub growth drops and revenue drops. That's always been something that I've been scared of. It's a little less likely to happen within our game, TCG Live, just because the creator sphere is so small. It's a bit harder to fall off. There's only like a handful of actual content creators. So it's like, you can't really fall off technically, because there's just not that many content creators to begin with. But that can kind of be a bit of a fear. And the other big fear, and one thing, is kind of just always keeping up with like daily videos. You don't have to do daily videos if you do YouTube. I do daily videos because it's good for, you know, the channel growth, and it also is the best way to make money, especially when TCG Live doesn't like get as many views as other games. Like, it maximizes revenue. So sometimes coming up with daily deck ideas can be a little challenging. It's not that bad. It's usually bad when it's near the end of the format, especially long formats. Like last format, Paradox Rift meta, it was like near the end there. I was starting to run out of ideas. I usually take like a week off at that point. Just give in. I'm like, I can't do this much longer. But those are usually when it gets tough. The definitely challenge is just kind of keeping it and being consistent and coming up with video ideas. Like, for anything, not just like Pokemon TCG, just if you're doing anything for YouTube, like constantly just coming up with ideas for content, that can actually be a struggle, and it can be stressful sometimes. Sometimes you do have to take breaks from YouTube to refresh yourself and kind of recharge your creativity and your brain, because you don't want to just sit there and make videos like every day. And then even if you do come up with ideas consistently, sometimes the ideas just don't do as well, or they just don't hit very well, or it feels like you obviously just needed something for that day, and you just wanted a video for the day, and obviously it rubs off in the video. So sometimes taking breaks on YouTube is a good idea. Don't take too long a break. Sometimes maybe take like a week off at most if you can, because like I said, the YouTube algorithm can be very punishing if you take a break from YouTube that's super long.
Yeah,
so I have
I
a
mean,
couple
or,
go ahead
there you go yeah you go for it
I have a couple of like follow-ups about things that I see can be scary. I mean, just like, people are mean. Like, how do the comments feel for you, man? Like, do you have to like dig through all the comments and like figure out how to like shrug it off sometimes? Or like,
talk
a little bit about the behind the scenes, because I mean, I know that because we do these, right?
Yeah.
How does it feel for you, you know, a much bigger channel and things?
it's interesting. I reply to all my comments. I like replying to comments, like seeing what people have to say about the video. So I always reply to my comments. But yeah, it does mean I have to sometimes scroll through some annoying comments. Like, there'll be the odd hater on the video. If like it's sometimes people will complain about the face and the thumbnail, or the, my favorite YouTube hater is Samuel Simku, who's a meme at this point. But Samuel Simku has the best comment. Samuel Simku comments on like Celio's videos too, which is just like pretty funny. So he's like kind of a notorious TCG commenter troll type personality, uh-huh. I guess. But I try not to let comments get to me. There are days where like it's like, okay, that kind of is annoying and it kind of ruins the mood.
Yeah.
But yeah, bad comments will always be a thing. It's impossible not to get bad comments. I will say YouTube does a good job filtering them out or kind of hiding them a little bit. Usually if there's a bad comment, it'll literally be at the bottom of your comment section. All the positive ones are at the top.
Really?
That's good. Yeah. My least favorite comments to get usually are just backseater comments. Somebody commenting like, you could have done this play a whole lot better at this point right. in the video. And I'm like, bro, like, come on, bro. Like, shut up. Those are my least favorite comments to get.
Secondly, you talk about like, you know, being scared about something. Like, mm-hmm. how scared were you with like the TCGO to TCG Live kind of like migration, and what was that process like for you?
Yeah, that was definitely a scary moment for sure, because PCGO was like the premier game, and I was worried about Live. My biggest fear was that it was going to have a sharp drop off in popularity within like the YouTube scene, and we have seen a huge ripple effect from TCGO not being the main game anymore, because a lot of the other bigger content creators, like Mahone, doesn't do a lot of live content anymore on his YouTube channel. He does more tabletop IRL gameplay videos. Azul still plays the game and posts it, but he still does more like VOD videos, more yeah. like deck profile stuff. So the ripple effect has started where like Celio's Network's doing more, more like analysis style videos and video documentary style content. So like I'm one of like the only actual channels who actually plays the game like all the time. So we have seen that big ripple effect, and I was a little scared at first. I was like, this doesn't seem good. Like I think like the game might lose a lot of viewers. I was worried that like, let's say I was averaging 10k views a video, I was scared it was going to drop to like, you know, 7k, 6k views a video, and I'm like, that could happen. The opposite I think has happened though. I do think due to the ripple effect of all these other content creators branching out and expanding their content from just live content, I do think it has helped grow my channel, because when people go to watch live, you know, a lot of the time my channel will pop up first. And also I do think that the game is still growing decently fast. The game is growing really yeah. fast right now, right?
Yeah.
Even with this online client not being the greatest, TCG Live has a lot of newer players. I've noticed in my videos, even in other YouTubers like streams and videos, like I'll watch Azul sometimes and I'll see like newer players are very much more common within the game now, because I guess it's a little bit more accessible to play this game. And with the TCG growing as big as it is right now and how more booming it is, it has given a lot of more eyes to the game now, which is a good thing. And I don't know if that would have happened with PCGO as often, because it's not, you know, you can't play on your phone and the IRL gameplay maybe doesn't translate as well. I think that has had a big effect. So honestly, I think the game has grown a little bit since Live's come out, even though the client is not as good as TCGO.
Yeah, I think the mobile aspect, like you said, makes it very accessible for people. Again, sources, yeah. you know, that have been around for a little bit now, but, you know, limitless compared to back when a lot of us started playing way back in the day. Like, there was no spot to go and find this or to yep. go and buy the cards or see how much a deck costs. But now anyone mm-hmm. can, you know, go quickly online and buy all the cards to buy towards Charizard deck and show up with it at the next regional. Yeah. type of thing.
The game is much more accessible. Like, it's so accessible now that we're even seeing Leonhard, one of the largest TCG yes. channels period, yes. is actually playing TCG Live, and even said he's going to get into competitive TCG. He's going for his invite next season, so yeah, that's huge. That might be what we need to see, like a huge growth spike, because we just haven't had that growth spike yet in the game. Like, the game is growing decently well right now, but we haven't had like a massive spike in growth due to the fact that, you know, our content creator sphere is not as big as other games. We've talked about this like before, or I've seen this talked about before, sorry, is where like the TCG Live content creators, they don't have as many subs as other channels. There's a massive like difference between the channel sizes. Like, Mahone's got 100K and nobody's close to Mahone. Everyone's like in that like 50, 60K range of like subscribers right now. So there's like a huge gap, and that could all change with like potentially Leonhard mm-hmm. pushing the game more and actually going for his invite.
Yeah, but I mean, even compared to like VGC, right? You know, you have Wolfie Glick, right? You know,
yep.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's at 4 million, or maybe not quite that many.
I think he's still at like a million. It's like 1.2, or
1.2 million. But like top VGC content creator also just won the last regional. So it's like, you know, like to like to that scale, right? You know, there are creators like Azul who, you know, are those ones who will go and win regionals, but, you know, aren't creating content quite to the level as some of those other folks. So, like, again, getting more eyes on the game, you know, that's something we all want. It's a game that we all enjoy. And again, all of our events are even bigger and bigger, right? Orlando was 2,300 people. Last year, Orlando was the biggest regional at the time.
It was
under 1,500. Like almost every regional this season has been bigger than that. So,
yeah,
a good spot for the game. Just gotta keep it going. And got the online champions.
Yeah, this time next year, I can see these regionals hitting like 3,000 plus players easily.
I don't know if they can handle the registration process for that.
That's a bit of an issue, especially the NAIC. Like NAIC is going to be the biggest tournament of all time, most likely. That actually could hit 3,000 players, but NAIC's registration process is extremely confusing.
It's very confusing. Yeah.
If you're watching this on release day in the morning, you might have time to figure out the process by the time registration opens. So.
There is a workflow. Go to Arcanine's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how the payment works. Well, I know that's whatever, but like payment on Pokemon's website, that's going to be interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
But we'll see.
All right, Max, derailing there.
Yeah, we'll jump back to it. Again, we know that you've seen all of this success. And again, a lot of people, again, you're living the dream job. You know, a lot of people want to do this. And we know it wasn't easy, right? It took 7-8 years of work plus being in the right game and the right time and things happening and like daily commitment to it. What advice would you give to someone looking to enter the world of content creation? And like, you know, what's your little quick steps? Like, hey, here's what you need to do if you want to actually do this full time.
Yeah, some of my best advice, I always say this whenever I get asked this question, is be consistent and like just don't give up. Because like literally, like it's very impossible to just like immediately blow up on YouTube. You're never going to get that viral video right away that's going to turn you into the next Mr. Beast. You have to work towards growing your channel and it'll start very slowly. I watch a lot of other like video games on YouTube. Like Call of Duty Zombies, for example. I'm a big COD Zombies fan. And I watch a lot of the big creators in COD Zombies, but then I also watch a lot of those like small YouTubers who have like less subs than me. They have like 10K subscribers, but they make really good content. And they've only been making videos for like less than a year, but I've noticed their channels, you know, growing because they're committed to that grind. Even though they don't have a lot of subscribers and the growth isn't right away, they're still committed to it because eventually it will come. And that being consistent is just a big part of it. Like just having consistency helps. Again, you're not always going to see the immediate success. You upload your first couple of videos, they're maybe going to get like maybe 100 views max if you're lucky. But if you just keep uploading and keep consistent with it, and even if you know the game really well, you know the algorithm, you even if you make the face and thumbnail stuff, like you see what's kind of trending on YouTube, what other YouTubers are doing and stuff, it'll improve your channel's quality and it'll improve how fast your channel will actually grow. So those are some of my best advice, just consistency and just don't give up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, special shout out to everyone that subscribed to this channel. Really appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah.
It's what keeps us coming, right? When you see those subs coming, you see people commenting and enjoying the content. That's what keeps you coming. That's what keeps you driving. So I agree with you, LDF. You just gotta keep pushing through, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just be consistent. Don't give up because like you'll not immediately see the growth, but if you just keep doing it, eventually you'll grow. Even if it's slowly growing, you'll keep growing over time.
Gig us down. Gig us down.
There was that Drago. Oh no, we're going back. Okay, we're good. Drago was back.
Always falls off randomly.
He went Super Rod, Artisan, we're back in the game.
Bro just yeet it off, bro. You couldn't handle it anymore. He's like, I'm out of here, bro.
We'll go back to old format. Well, ordinary Rod, quick ball.
For those of you not watching on YouTube, LDF has a Reggie Drago sitting on top of ETBs and it literally just jumped off and was like, nah, I'm done with this. And,
yeah.
But we had a super run back.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. We'll start wrapping things up here for the interview portion. But again, we were just talking about Leonhardt, you know, jumping into the game competitively. You know, you'll go to a few regionals from time to time. Haven't quite seen you play the circuit or anything like that, you know. Do you have any plans to like compete in a full season circuit for TCG?
It's definitely interesting. Yeah. So last year when the CP bar was like really low to get your invite, I was extremely close because of the top 32 I got at Hartford. I actually got really close to my invite by the end of that season. I think I was like 60 CP away or something. And I kind of regret not doing that. I don't go to many cups and challenges. A lot of them are extremely like far away from where I live. I don't have a car. I don't drive. So it's like hard for me to get to these things. I'd have to like Uber there. It's just too much like investment to go. But in terms of actually like competing full time, I've thought about it, or at least like going, like committed to the grind and going to all these tournaments. I haven't been to UIC yet. Haven't been to LEIC. I wanted to go to UIC this year. I just last minute decided not to go. part of it is down to like content. Like the Vancouver I didn't go to. Vancouver is like the easiest regional I can go to besides Toronto. I decided to skip it because it came out the same weekend as Temporal Forces. I would rather stay home, make videos, and make money instead of spending money to go to Vancouver in an old format that's like not relevant anymore. So that's kind of the process. I don't like how they keep putting tournaments on like weekends of release dates of sets. Yeah. The same thing's about to happen with LA. I really want to go to LA regionals because I've always wanted to visit LA and see it. But because it's the same weekend as Twilight Masquerade coming out on live, I don't know if I can do that now because I have to actually like stay home and make videos. I'm sacrificing growth on my channel just to go to a regional that I've wanted to go to for a while now. I don't know. Right. Like, it's just, I don't like how they do that. And it's just also like money at like the cost of going to these things can add up. Obviously, it's a bit different for like somebody who does content where I can use it as like write-offs and stuff, but it's just a lot to get into. Like, I just got my flight booked for New Orleans last week. And even then, I'm just like, that's crazy. Like, that's a lot of money to go to New Orleans. I wish it was still in Ohio because it's drivable for us in Canada. But yeah, like, it's just the money, the monetary, and also just needing to like go with people. I don't like traveling alone as much. I've done it before last year with Charlotte and Knoxville. I traveled alone, which I had never done before at that point, but it's really not that hard or scary. But I like traveling with my friends. Like, I traveled with all my buddies to Orlando and just had an amazing time.
Yeah.
Traveled with all my buddies to San Antonio, had an amazing time. Traveling by myself doesn't hit the same. Or making a trip out of these things, like for Knoxville this year, I ended up going to Atlanta for a week to hang out with my friend Lindsay and Dylan a week in Atlanta before the tournament. That was a lot of fun. That was my favorite trip so far about of going to all these like big tournaments, right? So that's like, that was cool. So like turning like these like tournaments into business trips doesn't seem as cool as turn into like an actual like just kind of mini vacation getaway type thing. But I don't want to treat it like that if I go full hard next year with all the tournaments. It really depends also where they are. Like, some places are just super out of the way and I don't want to go to, but they have like good locations. Like, I like, you know, LA, the ones that are close to us, like Orlando's, you know, pretty decent for Toronto to get to because it's cheap flights. And
cheap flights,
obviously, Toronto regional is really good. Maybe we'll get a regional in Ottawa or something. So, local regionals are nice. Vancouver, you know, as long as they just don't keep putting these tournaments on the weekend of new set releases, I definitely do want to get into that more. Because I do still like the competitive aspect of the game. Just because I play rogue decks doesn't mean I don't care about the competitive scene. I have a second channel where I do post the more competitive content because I wanted to like do that more and post more competitive stuff. I didn't want to put on the main channel because people don't want to watch that. So I made a second channel for that reason specifically. And that has given me, like, every time I go to a tournament, I do a tournament report now. And those are fun to make. That's more like a competitive focused videos. And I do like doing that type of content, and going to these regionals more often would, you know, incentivize me to do that more often, which I wouldn't mind doing.
Yeah, I mean, the 904 community is what kind of keeps me driving to LDF, so I totally get that, man.
Yeah.
If I didn't have Maddox here going with me to, you know, Japan and all these other cool Puerto Rico, and, you know, maybe your drive for it, it's not as open, and I get that. So with that being said, this community will welcome you anytime. If you need to come and, like,
thank you,
stay with us at any regional, we would love to have you on the grind. Like, just hit us
appreciate
up
it.
And the door is always open.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the one region I went to as like a business trip was like Fresno last year, where I was just like, man, I need another finish for my invite. I was like, I got some family out there. I can go see them like after the regional, but it was like flew in Friday, Ubered to like a rented room in an Airbnb, made day two. And then I'm like, I don't know anyone. Time to get some food and go to bed and come back tomorrow. It was like, it wasn't the same.
Exactly.
You know, I had a good finish there, fortunately, but like, but again, not the same. Like the part you really enjoy is having this social aspect, being able to go with the group. Even got to hang out with some of your group in Orlando. Y'all are having a great time.
Yeah,
Arctina with Shoes gang.
Mm-hmm.
So I was part of the group that got to stay later because we scrubbed out a day two. But
we're hanging out at the restaurant. What was the restaurant we were at again?
It was the Key West theme one.
When I got the pound of bacon sandwich and didn't eat it.
It was like a 1 pound BLT, and it was literally like, this is probably the most bacon I've ever seen served at a restaurant. I mean, like,
it was crazy.
Like literally when you just left the sandwich with that, when you took some bacon off, I was like, did you eat any bacon? And you're like, yes. I'm like,
where was this again? Did I miss
this? This was in Orlando. This was
Saturday night. I was like, I have to go to sleep. Yeah.
So. Because you're up at 5 for the fire alarm, which is a whole nother podcast segment for something.
That's crazy.
LDF, great having you on. One last thing for the interview portion before we get into some of the talk about next set again, like you're already getting hyped up for, and unfortunately I'm missing LA. That's so rude, Pokemon. Well, hopefully they fix that next time. But I mean, yeah, well, I mean, what, you know, what's upcoming next? I know you said you have the second channel where you focus on more competitive content. You know, do you have any upcoming projects or you know, any future work that you're doing you want to highlight for our audience here?
Yeah, so I did do this really cool video. So I've been on my friend Kieran and Anil's Shift Gear podcast recently, and we were doing like videos where we're looking at like the best of all time, like best cards of all time, best players of all time. And that inspired me to do this like video that I have recorded and on my second channel, just haven't uploaded it yet, where I looked at every single deck that won the world championships. Like every like year I looked at like the deck list. Shout out to Limitless for being a decent resource to like see the full deck list view, and Pokemon TCG Legend, which also helped me make that video. I just haven't found a good time to upload it yet, because there's just so much stuff to like make on the second channel right now. It's been I've just had a hard time finding a good time to upload it. Whenever new cards get revealed, all these tournaments happening, all these stuff, like there's so many different ideas I have for my second channel that I just have to find a good time to upload this. But this is a video that I am very excited to post because I think it could do pretty well. It's a different style of like video that I haven't seen this at all ever like on YouTube. No one's ever looked at every deck that's won a world championship. Only, you know, a certain year they'll do a video on and recap a deck, but they've never done one where they just look at every single deck in one video.
Yeah, well, now that it's leaked, you probably need to upload it soon before somebody else comes in like does it first,
right? Maybe I'll upload it now. It's a little bit the second channel content's kind of dried up. I ran out of ideas for stuff to make.
Yeah, I mean, first make sure you upload one where people can like register for NAIC.
Yeah, good idea.
The instructional video.
Tutorial on how to register for NAIC, yeah.
No, that's sick. I mean, again, like, you hear about a lot of decks that have been talked about, and I've seen a few of the highlights on all of them, but, like, having a history to go back through them, I think that'd be really cool. And, hey, I have a video that mentions Mew VMAX. I'm always going to love that.
Exactly. So. Mew was mentioned. It did win. And Mew is in the thumbnail because Mewtwo and Mew have won a lot of world championships together.
Really?
Yeah. Mewtwo has been in multiple world championships, 2019, 2012. Mew won 2005, 2023, or 2023, and then Mewtwo 2012. So it was like perfect.
You know, X-Ball, Mewtwo. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty huge. I mean, Mew's always been good in some regard.
Yeah.
So super cool. Well, excited for that. Everyone tuning in, pop by LDF second channel. See if the video is posted already.
It might be.
Might be. Yes. Yeah, well, thanks for that, LDF. It's nice to kind of hear your story. It's really, I love kind of talking to people and just hearing about their story, and we don't get to do that often in Pokemon.
Yeah, no
always,
problem. I always love talking about how I came up. So, yeah.
Well, let's kind of like transition. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but we can do some quick hitters about the Twilight Masquerade set. Let's do a little bit of fun here. You guys know how the draft is, right? This draft is happening. The NFL draft is happening the night this video comes out. We might as well do some draft here. We're going to like allow you to draft whatever your favorite card is from Twilight Masquerade. LDF, you are the guest, so you get to go first. Maddox, sorry, you're going second, and I will go last. We'll do two rounds. We'll each select two cards. We'll do snake format to give me a little bit of an edge so I can get third and fourth. And then Maddox,
whoa. Cheating on his own podcast.
And we'll do that for a favorite card that's not an A-spec. So exclude the A-specs.
Okay. That was the first thing I thought of. But
yeah, exclude the A-specs. Yeah, exclude the A-specs. Let's keep it, you know, what's the word? Meme-y here, right?
I like it.
Yeah, and then we'll do the same for the A-specs afterwards. We'll do four rounds total, two rounds for regular cards, and two rounds for A-specs. LDF, you are first. What is your number one draft pick from Twilight Masquerade?
I'm going to start off with Palafiniex.
It's a good one. And why do you like that card?
It's very unique. I don't think we've seen anything like this in the TCG where you literally like summon it into play. It's almost like a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Yeah.
You switch out the Palafin to the bench, and then you put a Palafin EX into play for free. It's kind of crazy. It's got 340 HP, which is ridiculous. It does 250 damage for one energy. If Iron Hands isn't popular, this card could actually be like a legit top tier deck. Like, I think it is a very powerful card. So I wanted to highlight Palafin is my first pick. I cannot wait to make a video on that one.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I agree. Cool. Maddox, what's your number two draft pick?
I'm definitely pulling up the set list because I wasn't ready to pick this.
Yeah,
many,
I pulled
many
up
cards.
A picture of like all the main relevant cards for this. Yeah.
Just throw that in the chat for me. No, I mean, again, it's not a meme card, but honestly, probably just one of the best like straight up attackers and like plug and play Pokemon of the whole set. Gotta go Blood Moon Ursaluna.
Dang
yes.
it. That was my draft pick.
Very good card.
The card is just so good, right? I mean, just being able to say, summon into play, hey, we have a basic Pokemon, 260 HP, and with Radiant Charizard's effect. Except if you if your opponent's taking five prizes, you just attack for free for 240. Again, like this card is
pretty
absolutely
good.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Very
I mean,
good.
Just being able to slap it into any deck. And saying like, hey, I have a late bulky. I mean, I've seen decks that are playing all single prizers plus a Blood Moon Ursaluna. I mean, this is a very plug and playable card,
so
something to be ready
good.
for. I mean, and if you're going Iona to one, Blood Moon Ursaluna attack, counter catcher, your thing, it's like, what you gonna do? Like, again, or I mean, you throw a cape on. I mean, there's so much you can do
there's
with this.
There's so much you can do with it.
I just know
it's
that it's
so
a card
good.
That if it's not on your radar or hasn't been drafted already, you just have to draft it.
Yeah.
This card is nuts. It also is a huge buff to Lost Box, because now it gives Lost Box the ability to play Radiant Greninja and technically a Radiant Charizard, which
right.
is nuts.
It is crazy.
Ooh, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, as you talk about Lost Box, my number three pick is definitely standard in Lost Box going forward, and that's Tatsugiri.
Nice.
Tatsugiri, man, this card is amazing. I hope it gets translated to something different than attract customers. Sounds a little weird.
I think that's already the official release.
Is
I think
it?
You're stuck
yeah,
with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. TCG
Oh, boy.
Tweeted it out. Yeah.
Attract customers. Yeah. Okay.
Attract customers of the Beach Court podcast. Subscribe. New episodes every other week.
But anyways, this card's so good with Rescue Board, man. It's like a free Pokégear. You know, those two Pokégear spots that you're usually playing, you know, now you only need one spot for it. So love that card. So that's my number three draft pick. And I'm going to go a little off the beaten path here for my number four. And I'm going to say Brute Bonnet's going to be a really good card.
Yeah, the Dark Brute Bonnet. Yeah.
So Brute Bonnet has Rattling Strike. The attack does 50 more damage for each damage counter on your opponent's active Pokemon. So, like, in Ancient Box, this card's going to go nuts and potentially could, like, swing the Zard match a little bit. Its attack cost is triple dark, which I don't love. But it does say Ancient on it, and it will go in Ancient Box. And I think it's going to be pretty good.
I think it's a pretty good card, too. Yep. Jisata, get energy on it, and then the
dark
following
patch.
Turn you can get
just
it.
Dark
yeah,
patch, man.
Go. Yeah, you could do that too.
Sauda attached dark patch. See ya.
Yep.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Maddox, number five draft pick.
For me, let's see. I'm gonna go with one. Like, I think a good card, one that's gotten some attention, and I think, you know, could be viable in like some control archetypes. I'm gonna go Luxray EX.
Nice.
Yes.
Again,
yeah.
Luxray V, we know with its Fang Snipe, you know, to discard a trainer from your opponent's hand and deal 20 damage. We have a Luxray EX, so it's stage two now. However, 310 HP for just two, again, a double colorless again, just slap a DT on it, hit 120, and you discard any card from your opponent's hand. So now it's not just limited to a trainer, right? Maybe they have that Charmeleon in play and they have that Charizard EX in their hand. You're going to say, Piercing Glare? Nope. Get rid of that Charizard EX. Again, I think just a really strong card, the right deck that's able to put together the pieces to just really disrupt the opponent. Luxray EX could be a card you have to watch out for.
Yeah, this card is insane. Especially when you combine it with like Iona, Roxanne, Unfair Stamp, and Judge. Oof. It's nasty.
You go Eerie in the same turn as well.
Yeah.
Grabber. Eerie. Oh,
Grabber,
just,
yeah.
It's such a good card. It's a very... We just have to figure out the best way to play it, because I do think this card is good. You just have to figure out a good way
to
like,
it's just Arvinzard, right?
True. Yeah,
I
you could play with Arvin.
I guess literally just Arvin Luxray, right?
Could just be like a new version of Pidgeot Control.
I mean, we're seeing... I don't want to leak your pick. I'm not sure if it's your pick. We've been seeing like Arvin Greninja's decks. Greninja EX, so...
The Arvin engine is pretty good.
Yeah, Arvin engine is pretty good. All right. So LDF, you got a last draft pick. What's your pick?
I was gonna go with Greninja, but honestly, I think I'm gonna go with Dragapult DX instead. I'm excited.
That's gonna be good.
I'm very excited for that card. It's basically a new version of Dragapult VMAX, which at the time when it came out, it was pretty good for a long time. It's similar. It does 200 damage for a psychic and a fire energy. And then you put 6 damage counters on your opponent's bench Pokemon in any way you like. So you can bypass Jirachi. You basically are just going to like feed all these little basics on the bench, like all the Manaphys, the Charmanders, the Pidgeys, the Comfies, the Tatsugiris. They're all just going to get swallowed up by Dragapult.
Yeah.
You're really good with TM Devo. The only downside about it is building it up. It's like kind of awkward. You can
awkward
use Mela.
Cost.
You can Mela to it. You can play Neo Upper Energy, which could be an option.
You could. The Dragon Cloak's pretty good too. It's, you know,
that's
the under
say, yeah.
And like, look at two, get keep one, right? And then
it's got a built-in engine.
I wish it was like discard the car, like Trainer's Mail. It'd be dope, but
it's,
you know,
it's pretty good still. Like, having
still
a built-in
good.
Engine is just kind of insane. I mean, that alone will make the deck at least somewhat relevant in the meta. Just because the Dracloak is so good. Just it's Airmail, and Airmail was a great ability. It's not as good as Bibarel or Curlia, but it's still like a pretty good ability that maybe when those rotate, this could be the new standard draw engine.
Yeah.
Well, again, like even decks like Curlia, or sorry, I mean Gardevoir, right? You know that they thrive because they have a great draw engine. Again, very powerful EX, and of course, Shining Arcana Gardevoir are very strong. But like, I think really the key for that was saying like, hey, yeah, you had a consistency in an engine that lets you see cards. But for Dracloak, it's even just like, hey, get a free card from the top two, and then it says, okay, now my engine can turn into my attacker.
All right, so we'll move on to the next two rounds, which is Ace Specs. LDF, you are lucky enough to get the best A spec. However, because there's only six, you will also get the worst A spec. So
that's fair.
You could choose whatever A spec you want. You were first, sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Unfair Stamp. That card is just
have
bananas.
To, yeah.
Best card in the set by far. Maybe not as good as Bulbmoon or Soluna, but definitely like competing for first.
I mean, it definitely competes with Prime Catcher, right? Like before, like, oh, Prime Catcher is broken. And now we're like, okay, well, we got Unfair Stamp, right?
Yeah, Roxanne on an item is kind of ridiculous. It was
kind
not
of
even
ridiculous.
It's insane. Yeah, Unfair Stamp is going to see a lot of play, and it's going to probably change the format and the way the meta is, or like at least the way matches are played. Like now, all of a sudden, you're punished for being aggressive. Maybe you're just going to sit there and build up your board a little bit before you get too aggressive.
Yeah,
which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I even think about like Lost Box, right? Used to go for, oh, I'm going to go for that early Cram KO, and you're like, okay, Unfair Stamp you to two. It's like, I got nothing, right? Like,
yep.
You know, it definitely changes the way you play it a lot.
All right, Maddox, number two.
Let's see. I mean, honestly, probably the second best A spec is Legacy Energy, but I'm not going to pick that. We're going to go for a throwback. We're going to go for a reprint.
Yep.
We're going for everyone's favorite card. You like Scoop Up Net. You like Turo. Scoop Up Cyclone. Just pick up everything, put it in your hand. Is it that good? I mean, hey, it's a neat card. I don't know if it's going to be as strong. It was, you know, it's good. Not near as good as Unfair Stamp or Prime Catcher or anything else, but a fun card. I'm really glad to see Scoop Up Cyclone back in the format. And again, just to have that option, just to, hey, a free pick up everything and see how that goes.
And not as a supporter, you know, so I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Not as a supporter. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm third and fourth. So I agree. Legacy Energy, I have to take it. It's still on the board. It's very good. I was playing it last night in Lugia. It's like, all right, here's a zero prize Shinjino. That's hitting for 400. So you have to knock it out.
It's a very good card. Yeah.
You have to knock it out and you get no prizes for it.
A one prize Iron Hands.
Yep. I was about to say, you can use it with these niche attackers that like Iron Hands or Shaman or Radiant Charizard.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
So really cool.
Hey, Radzard. Oh, shoot. Wait.
Yeah, Radzard.
We're cooking now.
And then next, I think before last night, I would have chosen Hyper Aroma in this spot. But I believe in Abby and her testing and the Goldingo. It's not very good in it. So I'm going to say nah to Hyper Aroma. Survival Cast can be vacuumed. So I'm going to say nah to that. And I'm going to choose Secret Box. Secret Box lets you kind of discard three cards from your hand. So it's thinning your deck a little bit. You can get an item, a tool, and a supporter, reveal them and put them in your hand. So pretty cool. I like it.
It's an interesting card for sure.
Yeah, discard three. We don't see that on a card often, besides if it's like discard your whole hand type of thing.
Does Secret Box get played in Ancient Box now instead of the Drum? I mean, you have other ancient cards you can add, right? I mean,
but yeah, it's really good. It can be good in like decks like Lugia or Ancient Box, or any deck that needs to specifically like play a supporter. Like you could play it in Lost Box to grab a Colrus. You could play it in Ancient Box to grab Sada. You could play it in Lugia to basically guarantee Jock Ultra Ball, which is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now right, instead so you go Cryptomaniacs, Cypher Maniacs, Code Breaking, Pokestop.
Yeah.
Into
away
the
Secret Box.
Oh, true. Yeah.
True. All right. So Maddox, you got Survival Cast and Hyper Aroma.
I'm going to take Hyper Aroma. Again, not quite proven yet. But I do think, again, just a free search for evolutions. There's a lot of decks that are playing the strong setup attackers. Again, another card we didn't talk about is like Thwacky that like lets you search for the festival lead. Maybe it's your Dracloak. Maybe it's your Curlia. Maybe it's your Goldengo, right? Whatever it is, I think there's enough flexibility here with this card that, again, Evolution Incense, great card. Evolution Incense for three stage ones, right? Like Erezu for a lot.
Yeah.
I think there could be something here. And definitely a consistency card that some decks will opt to play and just up their chances of getting rolling a lot. So I'm gonna take Hyper Aroma.
Okay. And then LDF, I got Survival Cast.
What are you taking? Survival Cast.
I got Survival Cast. I'm cool with that. I think this card is decent. Currently, before we got Legacy Energy, It was seen playing Lugia as the A spec, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because you can put on Cinccino. If you don't get Vacuum, the Cinccino basically survives and gets to attack twice, which is ridiculous. But yeah.
That is nuts. Yeah.
Now,
this
also,
card might be good when Vacuum rotates. And
yeah, that's true. True.
When F's gone, F block's gone, this could be really interesting.
This card will be
a lot
very
of these could
good.
Be real. A lot of these tools that are kind of and now could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. So we just got one last question, LDF, and then we will let you do the shout outs and stuff and close up. What deck are you trying day one on TCG Live first?
Greninja.
Greninja.
Definitely going to be the first video I do. Yeah. 100%. Right. And then probably Dragapult, but definitely Greninja first.
Okay.
Greninja?
Are you okay? Go ahead.
Because one of the most popular Pokemon going to get a lot of views, but also because it looks pretty fun to play. It's literally the new version of Rapid Strike Urshifu. And what I've seen in Japan, people have cooked up some interesting lists. So I'm definitely excited to crack it open and see how it does.
I will say we played the Mass deck last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprisingly good and fun. So don't sleep on that. People might like that content as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for all these new cards.
Yeah. Yeah, so LDF, thanks for joining. This was an awesome episode. I really appreciate you filling in for Parker. Again, Parker, hope you're feeling better, and thanks for filling in the whole episode. Where can people find you? Where are you going next? You want any shout-outs to any sponsors?
Yeah, so shout-out to my sponsors, Card Cavern. If you're looking for codes, get them over at Card Cavern and use code LDF for a 5% discount on your order. And shout-out to the Shuffle Squad, of course, my team that I am on with Zach and PJ and all of them. And, big shout-out to... I guess my own YouTube channel and my own second channel, Little Dark Fury and LDF Pokemon TCG, PTCG. That's my second channel.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having you on. Max, any closing thoughts?
No. LDF, great having you on. We're talking about it for a little bit. Good to have you here. And anyone else trying to check out LDF's content, check out our link in the description. We'll have links to that so you can support him as well as the Beach Court Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, we'll talk to you then.
Peace.